Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, our pastor begins a series titled, Breaking Soul Ties. This is message number one, titled, The Soul Tie. And now, here's Pastor Billy.
In the book of the beginnings, that is the book of Genesis, it's so powerful to see in those early chapters when God created and recreated the earth. And all that we read about the animals and Adam and Eve, it's so important to see that there was a purpose behind everything that God did. And so often we see it and we say, wow, he did it and I believe it. But all when you lose purpose, then you lose the ability to have passion and faith for whatever you're involved in. And what I want to draw your attention to on this particular series is that we were created by God relationally. We were created to be in relationship. The reason that God created Adam in the very beginning was because he wanted to start a family. God wanted more than just an earth, and he wanted more than precious minerals, and he wanted more than a terrific horticulture, which is plants and trees. I mean, God wanted someone he could relate to. And so the Bible says in that first chapter that he made man in his image. In the image of God did he make man. And he walked with man. And God's purpose was to have relationship. Relationship means interreaction, giving and taking. And as we see that here's Adam. He now is in the recreated world. Animals here, and there's plants here, and there's fish here, and the sun and the moon. But then the Bible says something interesting, and it says that he saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone. And herein lies the key that unlocks God's purpose and God's plan for all of our lives. It's not good that we are alone. Well, you said, but yeah, he had God to walk with. He had God. Well, he did have God to walk with, but God also knew that he needed other people to be in contact with, to be interconnected with, to be not codependent, but interdependent upon, and to draw from, and to receive, and to give. And God knew that that's what this man that he created, Adam, needed. And so we see the progression is that there was Adam, and then there was Eve, and then there was family, and obviously out of all of that came other friends. So there was Adam, there was Eve, there was family, and then it branched out, blossomed out, flowered out, fanned out into friends. Meaning that God always intended for man to bond, to connect, and that from the bonding that man does in relationships. And when I'm speaking of the word man, I'm not talking about a gender. I'm talking about man and woman. I'm talking about God's creation. That man was created to bond, and he was created to connect. You know, that he was created to mutually benefit from relationships that were to be ordained by the Lord. When you look at how Adam and Eve were connected, I mean, it wasn't like God made Adam out of dust and he made Eve out of dust, and there's two separate dust piles that became people. He got some dust, he blew into that dust, that dirt, and there became, man became a living soul. But then he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, so deep that he removed a rib from within Adam. And so out of that rib came woman, and that woman now was out of man. And the connection was there, and the connection is there, and the connection will always be there. At least while we're on this planet and in this life that we now have. And so we see the connection with Adam and Eve was relational, that how could he ever say, you know, you're not part of me, because she was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And then you move on into the scriptures and you see the Bible says that David and Jonathan, their soul was knit together. David and Jonathan were so close, so bonded to each other, that the Bible says their souls were actually knit together. There is a soul tie right there. Their souls were knit together. There was a connection between friends. In Adam and Eve, there was a connection between husband and wife. And then you move on into the book of Colossians, and the Bible says, the great Pauline epistle says that God will knit your hearts together, meaning Christians and meaning the church. And so now we have that third dimension of relationships, and that is the Christian relationship, or that horizontal, friends, brothers, sisters, acquaintances, relatives, how God will knit your heart together. Sounds like bonding to me. When Jonathan and David's souls were knit together, sounds like bonding to me. And whenever Eve came out of Adam, so connected, sounds like bonding to me. And what that means is that there is a tie, there is a connection, there is a bonding. And then the ultimate is whenever Jesus said in the Gospels, I believe it's John chapter 14, 15, he said, I pray that I will be in you and that you would be in me and that we would be one. I in you and you in me sounds like connection to me. Soul tie, connected, 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 connected. Now, you can connect on different levels. It's so important that you understand that when you connect in relationship, you know, you can connect on different levels. And there's basically four levels that you can connect on. And that is, obviously, you can connect physically. There can be a chemistry between people physically, and that's just about all that it can be. Not all that it should be, but it's all that it can be. People connect mentally. People connect on a spiritual level. People then connect deep in an emotional level. These are four different levels of which some people connect. Now, some people connect physically, but never emotionally. Some people connect physically and never mentally. Some people connect spiritually, and that's all they connect. Their contact is, hey, we love Jesus, we know Jesus, but they never physically connect. They never emotionally connect. And so the ultimate connection in relationship is whenever you connect with somebody physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. Now, usually that involves your marriage or a deep relationship that you have within your family, where there's such a physical chemistry, where there's a mental and you think alike, and where you're connected to God and the values, and there's an emotional bonding. And usually all four levels is you know, restricted to marriage, to family, or to that special friend. But when it comes overall, I mean, that's ideal, but as a general rule overall, that most people connect just physically and emotionally, and, you know, or some people just connect spiritually, but not all four cylinders, not all four levels of relationship. Now, the thing is, you want to know is this, that the more that you connect with somebody, the more that you connect with somebody, greater is that risk. I want to say that again. The more that you connect with somebody, the more that you are getting involved with somebody physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, the more that you get involved in a relationship, okay, the deeper it goes, the more it's connected. And since we're talking about four levels, just imagine if you had a strong piece of rope and you tie this rope, okay, to a tree, and then you hang down off of that tree over a cliff. Well, if you're connected by one rope, you know, that's great, that's secure, but if that rope breaks, boy, you fall. But if you're connected by two ropes, or what if you're connected by three ropes? What if you're connected by all four ropes? And so the more that you're connected, the more secure, the more firm you are connected to the tree, and the less likely to take a big fall. But if all four of those should break somehow, some way, all at once, or over time, then great is that fall. Because only connected on one level, only connected on two levels, you have a better idea of how far you're in and what the chances are and what your opportunity is to remain firm and stable and mentally sound. And so there is risk involved in relationships. There's definitely a risk involved. And many of us that have been involved in relationships have found out that they change. That's right, that relationships change over time. And we also find out that people are imperfect. And no matter how good it starts, it can end so terrible. No matter how wonderful something is in the beginning. I mean, very few people at the altar for a wedding have envisioned becoming brutal and cruel with each other a few years down the road. Many best friends end up best enemies. You know, many people that connect with their pastor ends up despising the day that they ever met him. You know, many pen pals become bitter feuding parties. You know, it's incredible, and we stand back and we say, why, how does all of this work? It's because we are imperfect people. We live in an imperfect world, and none of us are champions at commitment and sacrifice and deep love. I mean, none of us, in and of ourselves. And so we need to know more about sacrifice, deep love, and commitment, and honoring, and preferring. These are all wonderful truths that we learn as we go through life, but often by the time we learn them, we're well into our senior years and can't implement fully what we would like to be able to if we had time left to do it. And so often many people that are up in years live in such regret and remorse because now they have learned the wisdom, now they have learned how it works, and now they've learned what they did wrong, but time has run out. I believe that through revelation that we can get this into the heart of babies and toddlers and teenagers and young people, and that we can redeem the time, and that we can really have a new breed of people walking the face of the earth, emanating and permeating, you know, the wisdom and the love and the power of God that you can have in relationships if you're connected right and if you live and obey what God has to say. But the bottom line is relationships, they do change. And here you are, you're bonded, you're connected in a marriage, in a friendship, in an employer-employee, pastor, you know, shepherd and sheep and best friends. And I mean, we all love to connect, but what happens is there's change. There's change. And three of the most common changes that happen in relationships, number one is death. Number two is divorce. And number three is what I call disengagement, or you're no longer, you know, seeing eye to eye, and you're no longer on the same page. And so there's a separation of friendships and relationship. It just happens. And so what happens is by way of death and by way of divorce and by way of disengagement, there's a big, big shift and a big change. And here you are, you're out of the relationship, but the relationship is not out of you. I mean, thoughts think on and feelings feel on. You know, those aren't things that you just turn off like you turn off a water faucet. A lot of people just can't move on. I mean, a lot of people that lose loved ones, children especially, or someone that they're very close to, their father or their grandparent. I've seen it and you've seen it. I mean, someone departs, and even though we know they're going to heaven, even though we know they're going to be with Jesus, there's something about I can't live on, and life stops, and the joy. And, well, yeah, there's a grieving period. We understand that. But beyond that grieving period, beyond that place of normal, I miss you, something happens. Many people shut down. They shut down mentally, their dream, their emotion, their motivation, their passion. And many people become crippled, emotional cripples, because they've lost that person that was so close to them, and they just don't move on. That's a soul tie to a person who has moved on. You're still tied emotionally. You're still tied mentally or memory-wise. You're still tied to the point that it's no longer a benefit, but now it is a stumbling block. It's a hindrance. It's a deterrent. And that is where we begin to suffer the impact and the consequence of the something is not right. Why does this happen? Of course, then we have divorce. Divorce isn't supposed to happen, but it does. God never wanted it to, but it does. And there's grace for the divorcee. Of course, we know that. He hates the act of divorce, but God loves every person involved in it. And no divorce is really like another divorce. They all have their individual components and their uniqueness as to how and why and how it affects people. But so often, you know, you're talking about two people that shared, you know, spirit and soul and body and mind and finances and sometimes children, and they built their own circle of friends, and they have vacations, a deep, I mean, they're connected on all four levels, and yet divorce happens. It happens for a number of reasons, and that we don't want to go there, but the fact that it just happens. And so all of a sudden, you're out of that marriage. You know, you have a paper that says decree of divorcement, and you're out of that relationship, but you are programmed. you are definitely programmed. The chip is in. And you feel a certain way, and you think a certain way, and you do things a certain way, and you remember, and you think, and it's not something that you can just say, okay, I'm out of it, and it's out of me, and life goes on. Well, it don't work like that. Often there's anger, and there's heartache, and bitterness, and oftentimes some people recover quick, and some take years, and some never recover. They go to their grave, never having recovered from the heartbreak and the separation of that relationship. And so it changes, and devastation. Because why? Because there was a soul tie. Because there was something that kept them from going on with their life. Because there was something that kept them from dreaming on and fulfilling God's purpose in spite of the circumstance that happened in their life. So you have death. I mean, death is strong and interrupts, it intervenes, it comes at inappropriate times and causes change. And then there's divorce, and nobody plans on it, but it happens, and it brings, it comes inappropriate times, and it brings such change. And then you have what I call the disengagement, and that just simply means that, you know, you run out of love, you run out of patience, you run out of commonality. You know, there's something that goes on between you and a friend, between you and a brother, between you and a sister. Something takes place, a circumstance, a personal, impersonal, I mean, a million things why people no longer get along with each other. And so there's a breakup of friendship. There's a change, there's a transition. And you know, again, you did dinner together, you did vacations together. I mean, you read the Bible together, you went to church together, you golfed together, you know, and anyhow, the point is, it's changed. It's not the same. Your children can make that happen. A surgery, an accident, a sickness, relocation, a million things. But the fact is, it happens, and life is supposed to go on. But often, there again, it doesn't. Why? You're connected. You're tied. You know, your software, your insides has been programmed, and you've gotten used to. You've gotten into a place where it's easy, it's comfortable, it's familiar, you like it. And what happens? Boom, you find yourself trapped and tied into a place, to a person, and here it is, that person's not even in your life any longer. And here you are, standstill. Oh, there's nothing worse, you know, to be in a place of standstill, that you struggle to find, what am I to do, where am I to go, so everything is all different. These are the three main components that bring about change in relationships, you know, that I think are categories that you could put just about everybody into it sooner or later. And as death affects all of us, divorce affects all of us, even the innocent children at some point in time. The scar tissue there, the damage there, and who did it, mama or papa, and why did daddy leave? I mean, so somewhere down the road, sooner or later, that affects people. And then, of course, the disengagement of friendships and relationships, how they change, and how it alters our life, and so often causes such an upheaval, because what's happening is what we get connected. Something happens, we're out of the relationship, it's still in us, and then we have trouble reconnecting with people. We have trouble reconnecting with, and we feel almost like, wow, what has happened to me? How did this something that was so good end up so bad? And that is just it. How does something, because what happens is once you begin to experience a transition in relationship, by way of death, by way of divorce, by way of disengagement, and you're out of it, but it's not out of you, I want to tell you something. You are in for a painful process. It's not easy. Now, I know no one likes to hear painful process, but it takes some, you know, it takes some deliverance. It takes some healing. It takes some renunciation. It takes some confession. It takes some probing. It takes some time. It takes a lot of faith. It takes strong will, and yeah, you can win. You better believe you can win. We can do all things in Christ that strengthens us. You know, we can be triumphant in every place in Christ Jesus. But, you know, sometimes you got to walk through the valley, and sometimes you got to walk through the fire, and sometimes, you know, you got to hold on to the hand of Jesus a little tighter. The grip has got to become a little stronger, and your need for him becomes much more imperative than other times. And it's just not something you can just, you know, David said, if I had wings, I would sprout my wings and fly out of here. But unfortunately, David didn't have wings, and so he had to go through some things. And I'm hoping in this tape today to contact your heart and your soul and minimize what you have to go through. I believe we can minimize the damage, but we got to learn. We got to get the lesson. We got to get the message about this relationship. Yes, we're created to be in relation. And yes, God wants us to bond and connect deeply. And yes, God wants these relationships to benefit mutually all the way around. Win-win for everybody. But you know, God also wants us to be wise, and God wants us to be smart, and God wants us to have understanding about these relationships, because never were they intended to bring pain. God didn't create Adam, you know, and then Eve, and to say, wow, I'm going to use the pain that they cause each other to perfect them. That was never God's plan. Never God's plan. You know, God's plan was for Adam and Eve to be fulfilled in Him, walking together, raising their family together, and to live in a perfect place. But guess what? Eve gave in to the snake, and Adam gave in to Eve, and therein lies the history of mankind. You know, we give in to something, and the snake's in the house, and before you know it, it's biting you, and before you know it, you're snake bit. And before you know it, you've gone through life, and, you know, you have a whole background there of people that have been hurt and disillusioned, and, you know, I know myself. I mean, I thank God He uses me in a healing miracle ministry, and I'm thankful for that, but honestly, I look back, and many people have I hurt through my lifetime. You know, never intended to hurt anybody. Never wanted to hurt anybody's heart or their mind or their perception of me or our relationship. And you look back and how did that happen? And, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And, you know, so you know, 2020, you know, hindsight is 2020. When you look back, it's like I should have. And why didn't I? And because it takes years to learn some things. Well, I believe you can learn some things through revelation and wisdom, and I believe God can redeem the time in your life so that you don't have to look back and see carnage and heartache and harm, but you can look back and see, well, I made some mistakes, I'm human, but hey, I'm so thankful that God has forgiven and I'm healed and I'm moving on, and that was then and this is now. But there's got to be something more than just I'm trusting Jesus. There's got to be something more than, yeah, I hear what you're saying about relationships, and yeah, I've had some bad ones, and I just thank God that's over with. Well, it may be over with in the sense of you're not in that relationship, but it remains to be seen if it's over with because of the way you now are living your life and treating other people. You know, many people, you know, pay for somebody else's pain. You know, I mean, in other words, some people who have never gotten over a relationship, whether it be a husband, wife, a mother, father, a friend, a boyfriend, a good friend, a pastor friend. I mean, you know, they've never gotten resolved there. Well, they go on, and the next person that they're in relationship with pays for what that last person did, because there's mistrust now, because there's suspicion, because there's, you know, there's a lack of commitment. And I mean, and all of a sudden, somebody new is paying for what somebody old did. And even though it's old, doesn't mean that it's still not a problem with you. And so I want to deal with that, because God wants to get inside you and bring healing. He wants to pour in the balm and the oil and the wine and heal the heart and heal the soul. David said, He restoreth my soul. And so it's important that as we talk about relation and as we talk about, you know, yeah, that once you're in it and then out of it and it's still in you, that the forgiveness process and the releasing process and the blessing process and all of these things that help aid, you know, into the healing recovery, all of those things, yeah, you can do it, but it's more than notes on a page. It's more than just ABC. It's more than five ways to recover. It's part of you. And part of you wants to, and part of you don't want to. And yeah, you do it, but it hurts as you do it. And can you do it? Yes, a million times yes. But better never have to do it than have to do it and do it in the power of God. And I'm hoping that I can give some outline here on how to minimize that particular process. Because it can be minimized. It can be minimized. I'm convinced it can be minimized. And if we learn sooner than later then I believe we can not only minimize it in our own life, but if we can teach it and pass it down to our children, or pass it down in some cases to our grandchildren, that, oh, how we can make life so much more meaningful for them. Because none of us really want to get to the point where you don't trust anybody, where you go to church, you sit in, you get in the crowd because you've been so banged up by, I don't trust anybody, so I'm getting in, I'm getting out. I don't want to connect with any pastor again because of what the last, I don't want to, And all of a sudden we have a lot of people that are become housebound, and they become, you know, disenfranchised and disconnected. And, you know, they go into the local bookstore to have coffee and be around strangers just to hear voices, but they connect with nobody. I mean, they go to work and they drink coffee and they shake hands, but they're connected to nobody. And then they go on vacation. They like vacation. And they like camping because you can say hi to the guy next camping, but you'll never see him again. And you like that because nothing deep. You don't want to get in. No, oh, you were in deep and you got hurt deep. And no one ever going to hurt me again. I don't want to get involved like that. And so then what happens is you begin to substitute, and you get into animals and pets and hobbies. And you begin to, you know, you begin to like nature. Nothing wrong with any of that. But God never intended trees and puppy dogs and parrots and canaries and squirrels and, yes, even snakes to replace the connection that he has for you with people. That's right. God's called you to connect to people and to have koinonia and to impart and to receive of what God, the treasure that God has put in them, and to build a base together with God of one that is secure and strong, and that'll ground you and that'll surround you with reinforcements and support as you walk through life. I can't tell you how important that is. And so it is crucial. But how do we get to that? I mean, how do we get to that? I mean, I'm talking to many of you now, and you're somewhere in between, somewhere in transition, you know, coming out of one, trying to get out of one, out of many, not into any. And how do I move from here? And it's really, number one is this: don't ever forget the role of Jesus in your life. I'm going to give you three powerful principles. And number one is, don't ever forget the role of Jesus in your life. He's not just didn't come into you to get you out of hell and into heaven. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. It's very important that Jesus Christ becomes the center of all of your relationships. Meaning that it's so important that you drink of his water before you drink of anybody's water. Remember the woman at the well in John 4, whenever Jesus said to her, if you drink of my water, wasn't said as not her husband's and not her friends and, you know, and not the preachers, if you drink of my water, you'll never thirst again. The point is, only Jesus can fully satisfy you all the way in every area. Only Jesus can meet your emotional needs, your mental needs, your physical needs, you know, your spiritual needs. Only Jesus has the capacity to insatiate your being, flood it to overflowing. I mean, with feeling, with knowledge, with perspective, with vision, with purpose. I mean, with fulfillment. Only he has the capabilities of doing that. And I think a lot of times what we do is we love God, we invite him in, we want to go to heaven, and we want to get to know him. But it's almost like, I love you, Lord, but I'm going to live off the love of somebody else. And then what you do is you begin to put undue expectations on people. You begin to try and get from people what they don't have the power to give. People can never sit in the seat of God. People can never fulfill you, can never rattle and tattle and titillate your soul and your mind and your body like the Holy Ghost. But so often, oh, I love Jesus, but who are they sold out to? This man, this woman, this preacher, this place, this person. You know, and so often we pour everything into people with skin, and yet we come, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. Well, the truth of it is that you have people more in your way, truth, and light than you do the Lord. And when that happens, a man will always try and take more from his wife than what she can give. And when she can't give what he wants, then he's going to try and find it in some other woman. And well, for a while she may have, but then she may meet his needs physically, but not emotionally. Well, physically, emotionally, but not spiritually. And it's hard to get all four of those in anybody. It's really very, very hard. And it's because nobody can do what Jesus can do. So we must remember the Lord must be the center, the cornerstone, the center stone, the keystone in our relational, knowing that I've got to get my joy from Jesus first. I've got to get my peace from the Lord. I've got to get my acceptance and my worth and my value. I've got to get that from Him. I can't try and get that from other people, because then I'm going to pull on them for compliments. I'm going to pull on them for praise, for evaluation, for love, for acceptance. And depending on where they are, now they may be in a place where they can give it, but a lot of times they're not. Wants to let you know you're the apple of his eye, the treasure of his field, and that you're all that he sees and all that he thinks about, and that he has high purposes for you. And I mean, God wants to put a blessing on you and let you know that you are worth it, that you are somebody. You're a nobody. You're not a nobody. You're a somebody. And everybody is a somebody in God's kingdom. You see, but to do that, and then Jesus has got to be in position in your life to be able for you to receive that. And that's why it's so crucial that he becomes the center of all of your relationships, where you're drawing from him and your security is in him. And then as you bond and as you connect, then whatever you don't get out there, you don't need, because God's picking up the slack. He's already done it. He's making up the difference, and you don't have to take any more from anybody than what they want to give. You don't put any undue expectations. You don't put any heavy burdens, and your wife can grow in love, and your husband can grow in love, and your friends can grow, and you kind of put in check that selfishness and that need to owe anybody more than what you should. And it's so powerful to get a hold of this revelation that if you're going to love Jesus and be in love with Jesus, then draw from that account and let it fortify you and strengthen you, and get a revelation that this is more than heaven and earth. This is all about, you know, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Jesus has come to give you that overflow kind of lifestyle. But to have that, you've got to be in a place where, Lord, I look to you for that. Lord, I thank you for that, and I receive that. And let it begin to build inside your innermost being. And you will get strong, and you will be, you know, secure, and you won't need as much from people as you once did. And when that relationship, if it should change, you're not devastated. Why? Because 75% of your vitamin is coming from God himself, and 25% is coming from the relationship. It's the best way to go, because he is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. Nobody else. He is, and his water, and his water alone can fully satisfy throughout all time and eternity. What a great principle to grab a hold of. Principle number two is that God connects you in relationships, but also you have the power to connect yourself. And yes, the devil has the power to connect you to people. That's why the Bible says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Well, the truth of it is, God hasn't joined a lot of people together to get married. And so that's why they get put asunder. It's very important for you to have a concept that I want to be in connected to people that God connects me with, not whom I connect myself with. A lot of the people that you may want to be connected to or close to or in with may not be good for you now, may not be good for you ever, you know, but if you force it, I mean, if you demand a king, God will give you Saul. I mean, if you demand a hard heart like Pharaoh did, God will give you a hard heart. I mean, if you demand something long enough, God will give it to you. Sometimes that's not good for us, but, you know, that's how we hopefully will learn. My point is that you've got to let God connect you with the people that you're to be connected with. And that is, that I'm not saying that lightly. That's very, very powerful, and it's deep. You know, not everybody that, you know, lives in your neighborhood are you to be connected with, you know, deeply. Not everybody in your church are you to be connected with deeply. Some on this level, some on that level, some all the way. And it's your assignment to find out and to walk with God and to be led by the Spirit to find out who is God sending to connect with me and why and how far And then guess what? That is so powerful to have that understanding. It's okay just to know him as kind of like out there, hi, I appreciate, good to see you. But other people, there's more of a deeper sharing and more of an interfacing and interreacting, and you're not to be deep with everybody. Some people you just see on the shore, and some people you see in the ankle deep, and some people live in the knee deep, and some people live in the waist deep. And yes, there's people out there that are in way over their head, and God connects you with all different levels of people, and you're to know who and how far. That's your job. And guess what? Keeping in mind now, Jesus is carrying more than the lion's share of his connection to you. But then from there, who he connects you with and how far becomes the second layer of protection. What? If things change, should they change? Should there be some kind of, you know, transition period going on? Here you are, what? Over the lion's share of your emotion and your mind is connected to the Lord. And guess what? Some of the people that never really deeply connected with you, there's a minimal impact that comes up against your life. It's a raindrop hitting your head, not a tidal wave. Very important. So remembering Jesus is the cornerstone of relationship. Number two, that Jesus puts people together and ordains relationship. And those are the ones that last. Those are the ones that now they have the potential of going sour. Anything God puts together, the devil can get in and will try to get in. Always remember that. And so it's your job to recognize that and guard against that and protect that. You know, but sometimes, here again, because of our imperfections, that happens. And that's whenever you got to live a life of, I'm sorry, and the devil got in. And, hey, we don't want to mess up a good thing. And let's, you know, let's guard against that. And, you know, that's just the way that works. But it's so important that when God connects you, that it's so, so much more valuable than whenever you connect yourself or when the enemy brings you together and you think it's the Lord. So number one, Jesus, the principle is what? To keep from being all bound up and wrapped up and relate. And number one, God will connect you. Number two, relationships should be, second, because Jesus is first. Number three, is that understanding that a lot of relationships are seasonal, some are lifetime, and some are seasonal, some are monthly, they're months, and some are years, and 5 years, and 10 years, and 20 years, and some are a lifetime. And oftentimes you don't know, because it depends upon our obedience, and our hearing God, and how we walk with God, and how we guard against the enemy, and how we guard against our old nature, and how we guard against pride, and jealousy, and oftentimes what God intended to be lifetime becomes seasonal. Oftentimes, what was intended to be seasonal, we try and stretch into a lifetime. And so there's a sensitivity to this relationship plan that God has. When you look in the scripture, you see that, Paul and John Mark didn't stay together forever. They had a season, they broke, and then they were reunited at the end of Paul's life. Other people stayed connected the whole way through, their life. And it's just the way that it works. But when you understand how God connects people and how it's to profit you and how it's to make your life better and stronger and brighter, then it also requires monitoring and maintenance. And it requires such a keen awareness that, hey, as much as I like her, as much as I appreciate him, as much as close as we are, he's my prayer partner, he's my best friend, and he's my golfing buddy, and man, we've done a lot together. The danger there is that people get into that holy place, the holy of holies, where the Lord should be. And when that happens, God is a jealous God. He won't be replaced by stone, by fire, nor will he be replaced by flesh. You can sure as night follows day, look at your watch, count the time that when people replace him, that he's going to replace them. That season is going to abruptly come to an end. There's going to be a change, a transition. Now, even when that happens, even when God initiates that because of people taking in on his pay, there's a pull, there's a tie. And all God is wanting to do there is to say, hey, let's change the percentages here. You're spending more with them than with me. Let's get this thing back in balance and back in perspective the right way. Crucial, crucial revelation in how to bond and how to, because whenever it ends, and they do end, and let me bring my teaching to a conclusion here. When these relationships end and when they change, you don't want a tidal wave to hit you. You want it to be raindrops keep falling on my head. I'd rather have a raindrop or raindrops than a tidal wave. They're both wet and they're both water. The one isn't going to knock you over and drown you. The other one's going to take you where you don't want to go. And that's what these kind of relationships do. Whenever they go through change and transition, if the Lord isn't fixed in his spot, it's going to be a tidal wave. It's going to be so devastating. Now, I can't minimize heartache. There is going to be heartache. There's going to be tears and there's going to be pain. But I'll tell you, if the expectations to begin with were what they should have been, that's right. Because the only promise I can keep is by the grace of God. The only vow that I can maintain is by the grace of God. You know, the only loyalty that I can give to you is by the grace of God. Why? Because I'm like Paul. No good thing is in me, and oh, wretched man that I am. And whenever we make vows and promises and you know, connect with loyalty somehow in our own mind, even though we're well-intended, we don't have the power to enforce or execute that. And somehow we think in and of ourselves we're going to be loyal. Well, guess what? Man is frail. And so whenever the person that you're connecting with, you know, whenever they understand, it's by the grace of God, by guarding your heart, by trusting in Jesus, that anything that's good will remain good. And all relationships that end don't have to end on a sour note. Some people just get relocated, and some people just move away, and you remain great and wonderful. And some people that pass on into heaven, I mean, the memories and the thoughts are there, and it's okay to think of them and all of that. But your life's got to go on. See, the bottom line is your life has got to go on. Your love has to be reinvested. You've got to reconnect. You've got to, you know, find and let God bring in some new people that can now become mutually a part of your new day of restoration, be part of the new chapter of your life and of the new thing that God's doing in your life. And the old was okay for then, but today is the new. And don't mix the old and the new in the same time. Mix the old in the sense that was then and I've learned and I appreciate it, but oh, now this is the new and I'm excited about walking in the unfolding favor and revelation of what God has for me now. And that's the power of the soul tie. It's favorable. It's good. It's to be coveted. If you're in deep connected relationships today as I speak to you, then count it all joy. It's a privilege and it's an honor. But again, make sure Jesus is the lion's share of your heart and your relationship. If the relationship that you're in, no matter what it is, parent, marriage, child, friend, employer, pastor, church, parishioner, if it should change, you want to be hit with a raindrop, not with a tidal wave. And that is my word for you today. Remember Colossians 2:9. All of the fullness of the Godhead is in Christ Jesus, meaning the only one that can satisfy, the only one that can fulfill all the way, the only one that has the power to connect with you on every major level of your life and still remain closer than a brother, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then everyone else he brings in, seasonal, lifetime, connected to you, is to enhance his plan and his purpose for your life, that he's so privileged to be here during this time and as time goes on. God bless you, my friend.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.